Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today at the Mishnah that you'll find 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Tes. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a Nosei, a topic heading, where we have written the following: Ben Krach Sheholach Le'ir, Uben Ir Sheholach Le'Krach, Mosai Kirei Es HaMegillah. The term Ben Krach is a reference to a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. This is a topic that has been discussed early in the Masichta, but for our purposes, on a practical basis, this Mishnah would apply in a definitive way to the city of Jerusalem nowadays. Even though, of course, when we learn in our Gemara Markings, sure, we don't attempt to make statements that have any ramifications for practical halacha, but it makes it easier to discuss this particular sukkah by using a tangible example. So Purim is celebrated in Jerusalem on the 15th of Adar. The Megillah reading and all the other halachas that apply are celebrated or practiced on the 15th of Adar. And Ir is an unwalled city, or even if it's walled, but it wasn't a wall from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, so they observe Purim on the 14th of Adar. What is the halacha if a resident of one kind of city goes to the other kind of city? When does he read the Megillah? Another topic that will be discussed in the Mishnah is Mehechon Koreg Adam Es HaMegillah. From what point in the Megillah is one to read the Megillah? Of course, most of us are used to what we call Halacha Lamaisa, what we actually do, and of course, we read the entire Megillah Sester. However, that's an outgrowth of different opinions that once existed on this topic, and not every opinion that you see here in our Mishnah agrees with what we do on a practical level. There are those, and you can see them in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that say that you read from a point that's a little bit into the Megillah, not from the very beginning. Now, we've seen a point that was mentioned in an earlier sugya, that even according to those opinions, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that you don't have to read the entire Megillah. However, you have to have a complete Megillah in front of you. Just like when we read from the Torah on Shabbos, we don't read the entire Sefer Torah on any given Shabbos, we read a part of it. But in order to fulfill the Torah reading requirement, you have to read from a complete Sefer Torah. So now the Mishnah. Ben Ir Sholach Lekrach, a resident of an unwalled city that went to a walled city, Uben Krach Sholach Leir, or a person from a walled city that went to an unwalled city, Im Osid Lachzor Limekoimoi, if he anticipates returning to his own residence, Kore Kimekomo, then he follows the practice of his point of origin, from where he comes from. The Imlav, if he doesn't plan to go back to that place, in other words, he plans to spend Purim in the other place, in other words, in a place that's not his own, then Kore Imam, then he reads with them, with the place that he's visiting. Umehechon Kore Odom Es HaMegillah V'yotzei Bo Yedecho Vaso. How, from what point does a person read the Megillah and through that he fulfills his Megillah reading obligation? So we have here, as you can see, we've numbered them 3 opinions. Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. Rabbi Meir says you have to read the entire Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meish Yehudi. You will read from the part of the Megillah begins with Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan, and that you'll find in the second perek of the Megillah, in a standard chumash, you'll find that's the perek beis pasuk hey ishu lihaya b'shishan abiru shmo Mordechai ben Yoy ben Shimi ben Kishi Shimini, etc. From that point on, and Rabbi Yossi Omer me'achar hadvorim ho'ele. That according to Rabbi Yossi, you would read from Achar Tvorma Eila Gidal Hamelach Achashverosh Homon Ben Amdos Agogi Vayinasehu Vayosim Eskisumel Kol Sora Mashirito, which is Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. From that point on, you will read the Megillah. Later, of course, in the Gemara, each one of these opinions will be explained. We'll see the sources for each opinion. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, you notice a marking. You see a diamond, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, Rava is featured in a diamond. Shnei Memros Nifrodois Shel Rava Be'inyan Mi She'eno Bimkomo. We'll see two separate comments of Rava regarding someone who is not in his own place. With regard to the time for the Megillah reading. Omar Rava, the Gemara. Omar Rava, Lo Shonu, Elo She'osid Lachzor, Belele Yudalid. The Mishnah that taught that a Ben Krach Sholach Le'ir, that means a person from a walled city, say someone from Jerusalem that went to a place outside of Jerusalem. Kore Kimakomo. The Mishnah would say he would read like his own place. In other words, if he's a Ben Krach, he's a 15 man. 15 means 15th of Adar. We'll refer to them henceforth as 15 person or 14th person. So a 15 man that went to an ear of 14 place, the Mishnah says, well, he will read on the 15th. The Mishnah said if he's planning to go back to his place, if he's going to go back to Jerusalem. So this is true. Lo shanu elo she'osid lachzor belele yudalid. That he's going to go back to Jerusalem during the nighttime hours of the 14th. So that we have someone who's a Jerusalemite who is outside of Jerusalem. He's outside during the beginning of the night, during the nighttime hours. So it is true that the people amongst whom he is found are reading the Megillah. He's not going to read the Megillah. He doesn't have to read the Megillah. Why not? Because he plans to go back to Jerusalem during the nighttime hours of the 14th. The Mishnah goes on. The Gemara, that is, goes on. Avol ein osid lachzor belele arbasar. If this Jerusalemite who's visiting a town outside of Jerusalem, and he is planning to remain outside of Jerusalem through the entire night till the morning hours, Kore Imohem, then he, this Jerusalemite, had better read during the night, and he'll read together with the people in his 14 location in the morning. In other words, he doesn't retain his Jerusalemite identity vis-a-vis reading on the 15th and not on the 14th. He doesn't retain that if he plans to remain outside of Jerusalem till the morning hours. By the way, everything that we have said applies also in the reverse. But just so as we don't add to confusion, you can look in the Rashi. He goes through the other example. But well, let's just keep things as simple as possible. So we did so. What's the shorthand for this? It all depends. You have to look at your plans. Are your plans to remain through the night till the next morning in the current place? If that's the case, then you have the status of the current place. If you plan to go back to your place of origin during the night, then you have your origin identity. Omar Rova, Mino Aminola. From where do I know this? Dichtiv al kein hayehudim haprozim hayoshvim ba'orei haprozois. Now the word prozim refers to the unwalled cities. this pasuk seems to have a redundancy in it. Michti, let's look into this. Ksiv ha-Yehudim ha-Prozim. The pasuk describes the Jews that are in the unwalled cities. Loma li le-Michtav ha-Yoshvim ba-Orei ha-Prozos, that are dwelling in the unwalled cities. You just told me about their Yehudim ha-Prozim, the Jews from unwalled cities that dwell in unwalled cities. That's redundant. Ha komash malon. So it comes to tell me as follows. The extra expression tells me, the poros ben yomo nikra poros. That means if you're in an unwalled city for even one day, so then you take on the status of a 14 man. So that, what's the pasuk addressing? Who's a poros for one day? That means it's a Jerusalemite goes to an unwalled city for a day. And what does that mean for a day? He's going to stay in the unwalled city for the night of the 14th into the morning. So he shall take on the status of a 14 man. The Gemara continues. Ashkechon poros. So what the pasuk shows us is you can be what's called an unwalled for a day. Mukaf minolan. From where do we know the opposite case, that you can be considered a walled person for a day? Now, here we'll say the example. You have someone that comes from outside of Jerusalem, and he's going to spend the 14th in Jerusalem, and he's going to be staying there not only through the night of the 14th, but into the morning of the 14th. He is considered a Jerusalem person. So that even though he comes from a place where they read the Megillah on the 14th, he won't be obligated to read the Megillah because he's not in his place. He's a mukaf for a day. The example that Rashi gave regarding this situation would be someone who comes, who's a non-Jerusalem person, who is going to be spending the night of the 15th in Jerusalem. And he plans to stay not only through the night, but till the next morning. Then he is considered a Jerusalemite for the day, and he will read with them. However, if he is in Jerusalem just for the night of the 15th and plans to go back to his location outside of Jerusalem before morning, so even though the Jerusalem people were reading, he does not. So where do we know this point, that you can be a walled person for a day? The Gemara answers, Savora hu. It's a matter of logic. Midaporus ben yomo korui porus. Just like someone can be considered an unwalled person for a day. That was the example of the Jerusalemite that spends the night ushering in the 14th and the next morning outside of Jerusalem. He has to read the Megillah with them. Mukaf ben yomo korui mukaf. Someone who's from outside Jerusalem, who comes to Jerusalem just for a day, and he's there through the night of the 15th and in the morning of the 15th, he will read with the Jerusalem people. V'oma Rava, ben kfar sholach li'ir. Now, this was a point discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. The ben kfar is a reference to the, we'll call him a village dweller, that the halacha had made allowance to read on the Monday or Thursday that preceded the 14th of Adar. And he was given license to read on either the 11th, the 12th, the 13th of Adar, assuming that one of those dates was either a Monday or Thursday preceding the 14th, in order for him to be free on the 14th to bring food from his village. The village was the source of food for the cities. the agricultural areas, so they would be free on the 14th to provide food for the central cities, the larger cities. So the halacha had made an allowance for them to read earlier. So that is that we're referring to the Ben Kfar. So here is someone that had read the Megillah on the earlier date. That earlier date, by the way, was called Yom HaKnisa, for those who remember from the beginning of the Masechta. So he read on his allocated early day. And he then went to a city. He was in the city on the 14th. He was there the night, the evening of the 14th. Beinkach ubeinkach kore imohem. Even if he's planning to go back to his kfar before morning, he reads with them at night, at the night of the 14th. My taimo. Why is that the case? And here we have a long marking. Notice a long answer. Hai kibnei ir boi lemikri. Technically speaking, is since he's from a place outside of Jerusalem, he has the din, he has the basic halacha of reading on the 14th. V'rabonin hu da'akilu al hakforim kidei shiyasapku mayimu mozun l'achem shebekrochem. And because of a rabbinic consideration, there is a leniency for these village dwellers to read earlier. On, as we said, on the Monday or Thursday preceding the 14th of Adar, in order for them to be available to provide food for the city dwellers. And that leniency says that since they read early, they don't have to read it again on the 14th. Well, Hani Mili, this leniency applies ki isei beduchte, that's when he is in the village. Avol ki isei beir, if on the night of the 14th he happens to be in the city, in the central city, then kibinei ir boi limikri, then he has to read together with the people in the city. Once again, there is a leniency for them to read early, assuming that on the 14th they're going to be in their villages getting all the food ready for the next day to bring to deliver to these central cities on the 14th during the day. But if this villager happens to be on the night of the 14th in the large city, even though he read the Megillah on the allocated earlier date, he nevertheless has to read again. By the way, when we say read the Megillah, it means he has to listen to a Megillah reading if he himself isn't reading. Eisve Abaye, a question is raised. Ben Krach, Shoholach Le'ir, Ben Krach is a man from a walled city, goes to an unwalled place. Ben Krach, Uben Krach, Korei Kimakomo. He reads according to his own place. So the Gemara asks, the source doesn't make sense as it is. Ben Krach Salka Daitoch? Are you talking about a man from a walled city? Be'imosid Lachsor Talya Milsa. We said just before in the previous sugya that it depends on his plans. Is he going to return during the night or wait till the next morning? So what does this source mean? Elolav ben kfar. In other words, the expression ben krach should rather be ben kfar. And what is it then saying? It's saying that a ben kfar, a villager that goes to the city under all circumstances, he reads kimakomo, like his place. And that what does that mean then? It would mean that he doesn't read like the ear. He rather has the status of his village, and he already read. So this, you can see, is a kasha on Rava. Once again, it says he has the identity of Makomo, of his kfar, not the city that he is in. So the Gemara answers in defense of Rava, V'lav terutze metartzis. Did we not have to, we'll just use slang expression here, we had to doctor it up. That means, didn't we have to straighten out this source? Didn't we have to already doctor up the source that said Ben Krach and say it doesn't really mean that? So, to me, by the same token, read Korei Imohen means he reads with the city. So, just to repeat ourselves, the Gemara answers that we see the source itself that Abaye was bringing in had an inherent fallacy or weakness to it from the opening two words. By the same token, the last expression, kimikom, was also inaccurate, and rather it should be korei imohem. He reads, in fact, like Rava said, the ben kfar will read with the city if he happens to be in the city on the night of the 14th. Mehechon korei odom es hamegillah. The Mishnah dealt with the second topic, that is, from what point in the Megillah does a person read? Tanya. Now here's an interesting thing. We have here a fourth opinion. And that's why you can see we have a number four, over Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Oimer, mi balaylo hahu. This opinion, by the way, is the least amount of Megillah text that you'll be expected to read. You're going to be reading from the beginning of the sixth chapter of Megillah Esther, the pasuk Balaylohu Nodedos Shnas Hamelech VaYoymer Lohavi Esefar Zichronos Divrei Yom Aviv Nikroim Lifnei Hamelech. The section that begins with the Achashverosh's insomnia, which in effect the night at which the we'll call the miracle goes into high gear. And as you can see, we have a new marking, a house shape on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic and the Mivneh the structural note. So a house is featured, Rabbi Yochanan, and you have Rav Huna. So if you look in your Gemara text, you see Rabbi Yochanan here, and a few lines later, Rav Huna. And the double underline that is used in the Gemara highlights the Pasuk Meha Megillah, Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rav Huna, B'mahu HaMokor L'deos HaTanoim B'mehechon Koirim Es HaMegillah. So we saw four opinions of Tanoim. What are the Tanoim based on? So they are based on a Pasuk. In other words, there's a pasuk in the Megillah that dictates from what point you have to read. The only thing is that how are we to understand the pasuk? So each one of the four Tanoim has his own opinion. So what we have here is a case of what we call Ribui Deos. You've got under Rabbi Yochanan, you'll see four opinions. Rabbi Yochanan will give you a pasuk, and there are four opinions how to interpret the Rabbi Yochanan pasuk. And Len will have Rav Huna, and as we go through Rav Huna, he will present us with his pasuk, with the pasuk that Rav Huna feels is the basis of the different Tanaic opinions, and we'll have to see each one for Tanoim how they would explain the pasuk that Rav Huna presents. So as far as markings are concerned, you can see that the Rabbi Yochanan house marking is also featured to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. We're using a long marking. That's Rabbi Yochanan's presentation. He gives you a pasuk and what each Tana would say in interpreting the pasuk to justify their respective opinions. And likewise, we have a long marking introducing the Rav Huna section as well. So now, Amar Rav Yochanan, V'kulon Mikra Echadarshu. V'kulon means the four Tanoim explain or focus on the same Pasuk, but of course each one interpreting it his own way. The Pasuk says, V'tichtoiv Esther Hamalka U'Mordechai HaYehudi Eskol Toikef. At the end of the Megillah, we're looking at Pasuk Chof Tes of Perek Tes. The Megillah records that Esther and Mordechai wrote all of the toikef. Now, toikef is a word that one has to think about how to translate it, but it generally speaking has to do with the strength of the events, the strength of the Megillah. So, man de Omar kula, Rabbi Meir, who said you have to read all of the Megillah, that's tokfo shel Achashverosh. We're supposed to be reading about the force, the strength, the power of Achashverosh. Well, the power of Achashverosh is revealed already from the very beginning of the Megillah. Uman diomar me'ish Yehudi, the opinion that said you read from the Ish Yehudi pasuk, which was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, tokfo shel Mordechai, the strength of Mordechai, where he comes to the fore, where he is revealed. And that is, as we said, in the second chapter of Megillas Esther. Uman diomar me'achar advorim ho'ele, what is the tokef refer to? Tokfo shel Homon, where Homon enters the stage. And that was from the pasuk of Achar HaDvarim Ha'ele. And Uman Domar Mi Balai Lo Hahu, that was the fourth opinion. We didn't see this in the Mishnah, but we saw it in this Taneig source, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Mi Balai Lo Hahu Tokfo Shel Nes. As we said before, where the miracle goes into high gear. And of course, the basis of the miracle, is essentially from the point that that Mordechai enters the picture. But for lack of better expression, when things go into high gear, where you see a real turnaround of events, where after you see Haman had schemed to eliminate the Jews, and the one that irritated him was Mordechai, everything turns around at that point from Balayla Hu, where we saw that Achashverosh experienced insomnia, and Haman appeared just at that moment, and one thing led to another, and Haman had to lead Mordechai around on the royal horse, as everyone I'm sure knows by now. Rav Huna Omar Mehocha. So just to review, Rav Huna gives the pasuk that he feels is the basis of the four different Tanaic opinions of how much you have to read of the Megillah. So what's the pasuk? It's from Perek Tes Pasuk Chof Vov. Uma ro'u al kocha, uma higia alehem. The Rashi, let's look together at the Rashi. Uma ro, Rashi working out, just a few lines up from here. Uma ro al kocha hamegillah nichteves v'nikres. The Megillah is written and read lohodia ledoros, to inform later generations. Ma ro ba'oiso hazman she'osu ma she'osu. What is it that they saw at that time to do what they did? Uma foresh al, and then we explain al kocha osu. Ulefaresh ma higia al ha'oisim, because of such and such they did, and we have to explain what happened to those that did what they did. Of course, all of that's very vague. It's a framework, so it's based on the fact that it's vague, the fact that we're saying there is a framework. There are people that did something, and what happened to those that did what they did. That is what we now see is the basis of four different opinions. So we quoted the pasuk. Number one, Man di Omar Kula, the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who said you have to read the whole Megillah. Well, because the pasuk from Perek Tes Pasuk Chavav is, now we fill in the blanks. Ma ro Achashverosh. The pasuk itself says, Ma ro'u al kocha umahi yalehem. So the subject, according to Rabbi Meir, is Ma ro Achashverosh shenishtamish bekelim shel Beis HaMikdash. What motivated Achashverosh to use the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Megillah, as its name indicates, is called Megillas Esther. It's hidden. Esther from the word hastir. Things are hidden. Things are told over only in a hinted fashion. And on a certain level, one can approach the Megillah story as a story concerning which the story took place at the time the Beis HaMikdash was laying in ruins, and Ahasuerus had taken out vessels. After you saw you see in the description of the vessels that were presented in the first perek of the Megillah, and we having learned our Maseches Megillah, we know that he was using the Big Day Kohen Gadol, for example. He was wearing Big Day Kohen Gadol. He brought out vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and in effect was making a mockery of it, trying to show everybody, including the Jews, that your Beis HaMikdash is finished. It's not going to be rebuilt anymore. And I'm now in power. No more. Give up your past. Join me. Convert. Assimilate. And we know that from what we've learned in Maseches Megillah, that the Jews actually enjoyed the feast. And that created the feeling that the whole master plan for the Jewish people to have a Beis HaMikdash, certainly a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, to be a light unto the nations, to fulfill their role, the Jewish role, all of that's a thing of the past, and they were enjoying that. So, of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave rise to a Haman that said, that basically says, if the Jews are abandoning their role, so we don't need the Jews anymore. And that's kind of, we'll say, the hidden message that is taking place in the Megillah, where even though these things are not spelled out explicitly, but that's the whole point of how to learn the Megillah. It's a Megillas Esther. Esther, we said before, is a hidden expression. We're getting a little bit off the point of the Gemara right now, but it fits into this explanation, the Rebbe Meir explanation, that Ahasuerus, what is it that motivated Ahasuerus to take out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash? Al kocha. It's because of this. Mishum dechoshiv shivim shonin velo ifruk. He had made a calculation, something that we learned earlier in the Masichta. He made a calculation regarding the prophesied 70 years of exile, and according to his mistaken calculation, but according to his calculation, the 70 years of exile had completed, and still no rebuilt Beis HaMikdash. Velo ifruk, and the Jews were not redeemed. And therefore, he felt, now I feel at ease that the prophecy is a false prophecy, and that was the original plan for the Jews is no longer binding. Uma higia alehem, and then what happened as a result? To Kotal Vashti. He, in that whole story, during the feast, requested Vashti to come about, and what happened as a result? Well, he ended up killing Vashti, seeing to her execution, which of course led to Esther and Mordechai entering the picture, and as they say, all the rest is history. Uman diomar me'ish Yehudi. So, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who said that the reading of the Megillah is from there, we have to now fill in the blanks regarding Pasuk Chavov of Perek Tes that said, Ma ro'u al kocha, who is the subject? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Ma ro'o Mordechai de ikni bahaman. What is it that Mordechai did that aroused the wrath of Haman? Al kocha. What did Mordechai see to arouse that caused Haman's wrath to be aroused? De shavi nafshe avodah zarah. Well, you know that Mordechai did not bow to Haman. Haman had made himself into a form of idolatry. He made himself into an idol, if you will. And of course, one is forbidden to bow to idols. There's more on that particular topic, but we're sticking to the text for right now. And Uma higi alehem, and what was the result of Mordechai's non-bowing to Haman? Disrachish Nisa, a miracle took place. the miracle of Purim. Umadomer me'achar advorim o'ele, who is the subject here? Ma ro'o Haman, what is it that Haman saw, shiniskane b'chol ha'yehudim, that what is it that caused Haman to become irate with all of the Jews? Al kocha, because of mishum de Mordechai lo yichrav lishtahava, because Mordechai didn't bow to him. Uma higi alehem, and what happened to them? It's of course to Haman and his colleagues. The tolu oisiv es bonav aleis, he was hung together with his sons on the tree. Uman diomar mi balaylo hahu, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who said that the reading of the Megillah is from Perek Vav, from the sixth Perek, Ma ro'o Achashverosh lahavi asefach zichronos. What Pasuk Chof Vav in Perek Tes is referring to is what caused Achashverosh, what did he see that caused him to have the royal chronicles to be taken out and to be read? Al kocha, the zaminte Esther lahoman behadei. What because of what? And this week, by the way, we learned on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis, the end of Tes Vav Amid Beis. It bothered Achashverosh that Esther had invited Esther, who had planned to make a feast, had invited the king, but invited Haman also with him, and that bothered him. What was it that? And that's what kept him up at night. Uma higia alehem. And what happened? The miracle happened. Omar Rabbi Chelbo, we should note, by the way, this volcano shape on the side are Memros Shel Rabbi Chelbo. Omar Rabbi Chelbo, Omar Rav Chamo Bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Halacha Kedivri HaOymer Kula. So Rav Paskins, that you are to read the whole Megillah like the opinion of Rebbe Meir. The afilu l'man domar me'ish Yehudi, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, for example, and any of the other opinions that you don't read from the beginning, nevertheless, srichosh te suva kula. Nevertheless, you have to be reading from a complete Megillah. So even though you're not reading the whole Megillah, nevertheless, the Megillah that from which you are reading must itself be complete. The Omer Rabbi Chelbo and Rav Chama Bar Gurya Rav. Megillah nikreis sefer v'nikreis igeres. The Megillah is referred to in Perek Tes Pasuk Lamed Beis by the term sefer, and in Perek Tes Pasuk Chavav it's referred to by the term igeres. These are words that are hard to translate. They have halachic ramifications, so we'll avoid translating them. But we must point out, though, that an igeres is something that is not as significant as a sefer. So nikre sefer, it's categorized as a sefer, she'im tofra b'chutei pishton psula. As I'm sure everyone knows, the Megillah is written on parchment, on sheets of parchment that are sewn together. A Sefer Torah as well is written on sheets of parchment. There are rules many of these rules are Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that govern the writing of holy scriptures in their holy sense, that being a reference to their being written on parchment with ink, and amongst the rules that concern the preparation of holy scrolls is how the different sheets are tied or sewn together to create the scroll. So something that is called, something that has the status of a sefer, so it must be sewn together with animal sinews and not with chutei pishton. Those would be flax or linen threads. So it's called a sefer. The Megillas Esther is referred to by the pasuk as a sefer, which tells me that it has the rules of a sefer with regard to how it's sewn together, and that is, you cannot use flax, pishtonless flax, or linen thread. You have to use animal sinews. V'nikreis igeres shimhitil bo shloshechute gidin kshera. And it's called an igeres, and as we said before, that implies that it doesn't have the stringency, the stringencies of a sefer, and that tells me that if they in sewing it together, there were three sinews sewn, three points in the point at which the sheets are sewn together. If you make just three chute gidin, it's okay. Omar Rav Nachman ubavad shiu mishuloshin. These three separate stitches made by three separate strings, animal sinew threads. It's kosher. It's acceptable, provided they are at even gaps between each one, so that the space from the top to the first stitch is the same as the space from the first stitch to the second stitch, and that space is the same as the space from the second to the third stitch, and from the third stitch till the end. That pshat is based on what Tosfos has in Dibur, in the last Tosfos on the page. We have a little diagram on the side of the Gemara that helps to illustrate that which is found in the Tosfos text. There are different shitos on this topic. You can see them in the Mishneh Berurah and the Biur Halacha. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Before we continue, we have the topic heading on the side, the Nosei. The first point we just dealt with regards Tefiras HaMegillah, the sewing of the Megillah, and the second point, Megillah HaKsuva Bein HaKsuvim. A Megillah scroll that's actually part of a larger scroll. Everyone is familiar with a Torah scroll that has the five Chumashim in it, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In a Torah scroll, you can have a Tanakh scroll also, or a Nach scroll, or a Ksuvim scroll. That's a scroll of other books of the holy writings of the Tanakh. What happens if you have such a scroll, and amongst the different books in the Tanakh happens to be a Megillas Esther? So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, HaKorei B'Megillah HaKsuva Bein HaKsuvim Lo Yotza. If one reads from a Megillah that's part of a scroll of other holy writings, he does not fulfill his obligation. Rashi says, Lo Yotza Deboinon Igeres Liatzma. You need to have a separate scroll. The Mefarsim Nisotfei. Then the miracle becomes more obvious, more publicized. The Chikora Bein HaKsuvim Nira Kikora Bein Mikra. If you're reading the Megillah Esther from a scroll that contains other holy works, it looks like you're simply reading books of the Tanakh. Looks like you're reading from reading for the sake of learning the books of the Ksuvim, as opposed to doing a reading that is Purim or holiday miracle based. Omar Rova, Lo Amoran, Elo Delo Mechsra Umiyasra Porta. Rava qualifies Shmuel. Shmuel said that you're not Yotzei. So he says, Rava says it's true, you're not Yotzei. That's only if the Megillah is equal size to all the other works in the scroll. However, Avol Mechsra Miyasra Purta, if the Megillah itself sticks out, is a little longer, it's a little taller than the other works in the scroll, or it's Miyasra, or that's Miyasra, or it's a little extra, a little longer, or Mesra, it's a little shorter. In other words, the parchment sheets that comprise the Megillah that are sewn into this larger scroll, the parchment sheets of the Megillah are shorter than the rest of the sheets of parchment in the scroll, then less lon bo, then we are not upset by that, and you would fulfill your requirement. And why is that? Because then it's nicker, it's something that is obvious, obviously something different, so that you're reading, albeit it's from a scroll, but you're reading something that looks different. So the point of having miracle being publicized, you can accomplish it in that way. Levi bar Shmuel have kokori kamed Rav Yehuda. The Megillah, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, haksuva bein haksuvim. Levi was reading from a Megillah that was part of a larger scroll of other holy works. Omar Lay, so Rav Yehuda says, Harei Omru, but it has been said, Hakori b'megillah, Ksuva bein Ksuvim lo yatsa. So, what are you doing? So he pointed out that it was really wrong to do that. Omar Rav Chiyo bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan. And here we have a triangle marking, and on the side, Memros shel Rav Chiyo bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, Be'inyin ha-megillah v'od. So we have comments he makes that are Megillah related and other. So Omar Rav Chiyo bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, Hakori b'megillah haksuva bein haksuvim lo yatsa. One who reads from a Megillah that's part of a scroll of other of the other holy writings, he does not fulfill his requirement. Umochu lo amocha. That means he then had a partial reversal of what he said. Technically, if you want to literally translate, it means he hit himself on his head. And this problem of Megillah Haksuvim Ksuvim but Sibur Shanu. That's only in a case when you are reading it in public. The Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Shiur HaTefer Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. We mentioned this before, that the rules of preparing holy scrolls, many of the rules that govern that are from an oral tradition that we call Halacha Moshe MiSinai, rules communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu orally at Mount Sinai. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying that Shiur HaTefer, this space is the idea or the phenomenon of sewing the different sheets of parchment together. You don't sew them up to the very top of the very top and the very bottom, but leave a little part of parchment unsewn before you begin the stitches. So you don't stitch it right up to the very top, nor to the very bottom. So he says that that's halacha l'moshim, so that's an oral tradition. And then, umochu lo amocha, again that same expression, there was a reversal of what he said, and in here he says, v'lo omru elo kadei shelo yikra. He reversed what he said. He says it's not an oral tradition from Mount Sinai. It's simply a good idea that the Rabbanon said. It's a rabbinic law, so that it prevents the stitches from coming apart. In other words, if you sew the stitch to the very very top, it can tear apart. It creates a certain amount of tension that is avoided by starting the stitching a little bit lower than the very top or the very bottom. The Omer Rav Chiyo bar Abba, Omer Rav Yochanan, Il Mole Nishtayer B'Ma'ora Sha'omad Bo Moshe V'Le'u, K'Meloi Nekev Machat Sidkis, Lo Ho'yuchoyim Lamud M'nei Ha'oira. The Torah, in Parshas Kisisa, we have a pasuk quoted on the side that we wrote on the side of our Gemara. Voya bavor kvodi v'samticha benikras hatzur v'sakoisi kapi olecho ad ovri. The pasuk reveals that the Almighty told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to a crevice in the mountain, we'll call it a cave, a type of sealed cave, and likewise. In Sefer Melachim, you find with Eliyahu Hanavi going into that same cave. So he tells us, Rav Chiyo bar Abba tells us that if that cave had the slightest aperture, even the size of the like the eye of a very fine needle. Kamlo nekev machatzikis, like the either the eye of the needle or like the hole made by a very fine needle, that then they wouldn't, Moshe nor Elio would have been, would not have been able to withstand the intensity of light that was experienced during that divine event where the Shekhinah, the divine presence, passed by that cave. So let's if we read the words again, the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying Il Mole Nishtayer b'mora, if there would have remained in that cave, she'omad boy Moshe Leo, that Moshe and Eliyahu stood kemloi nekev machet sitkis, like the hole, the size of a fine needle, lo hayachum lamo, they wouldn't have been able to withstand the experience of Nei Ha'oira because of the intensity of the light. Shenemar ki lo yirani ha'odom v'chai, a person cannot perceive the divine presence and remain alive. And as we've said many times in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, these are this is an example of an esoteric topic, something that goes that most likely goes beyond the simple translation, but the idea, it can be felt even at the simple level that contact on a physical level between man and the divine presence is something that is so extraordinary that a man, a human being, would not, as great as they might be, wouldn't be able to withstand in a physical body sense that kind of meeting. Of course, after a person dies and he's not bound anymore by physicality, so then the stakes change. The Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv. There's a pasuk, and the pasuk itself, the Gemara quotes V'aleim Kol Advarim. Let's just read the first half of the pasuk just to get into it. We have this written between the lines. Vayiten Hashem Eli es shnei luchay so avonim ksuvim be'etzbelekim. The pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu telling over that he received the Ten Commandments, the two tablets written by the Almighty. The aleim, now we continue in the Gemara with the Gemara quotation. The aleim kechol hadvarim asher diber Hashem imochem bahar, and on them was everything that the Almighty spoke about. So what this pasuk is revealing to us that Moshe Rabbeinu had received more than, that's just, we'll call just then, the basic Ten Commandments. Malame, this reveals, this tells us, it teaches us, She'eiwa Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, that the Almighty revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu Diktuke Torah, V'diktuke Sofrim, U'ma She'ha Sofrim Asidim L'schadish. The term Diktuke Torah, Rashi tells us, these are ribuyin, essen v'gamin. The word s in the plural is essen, and the word gam in the plural is gamin. When you learn through the Shas, you notice there many times there are drushes where a pasuk is quoted and the word s appears, and we say s is coming to include something else, and likewise the word gam also comes to include something beyond the actual text. So all of these additions that are derived through S and through Gam, Moshe Rabbeinu was informed of those teachings. And the Mi'utin, Tiktuke Torah includes Mi'utin, limitations. And that is alluded to in the Torah by the word Ach. And here it, you see in the Rashi in the plural, Achin, the word Ach or the word Rak. In the plural form, it's rakin. Those words are limitation expressions. They come to exclude something. And, of course, each sugi on its own when you come to it. The point here is that Moshe Rabbeinu was informed of all of those conclusions. The next expression, Dikduke Sofrim, Rashi says, Shediktiku Ho'achroinim Miloshon Mishnas Horishonim. Well, we have this very often throughout the Shas, where the Mishnah will say something, and the later authorities will start trying to understand what was the intention of that earlier statement. That whole corpus of learning was something that Moshe Rabbeinu was informed of back on Mount Sinai. And what else? The third point was Masha Sofrim Asin L'Chadesh, that which the sages would eventually introduce as a new practice, Umayinu, and what was that? Mikra Megillah. We should note, of course, that the idea of Mikra Megillah, how do you know, how was that come about, how did it come about? So we saw already earlier in the Masifta that was through Kal V'Chomer logic, which is a very, very strong form of logic, and hence a justification for the Rabbanan adding this mitzvah. Of course, it's not one of the 613 mitzvos. It's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, but nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was informed of it at Mount Sinai. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading where we've written out Kol Ksherim Likroisus HaMegillah. Everyone is acceptable in reading the Megillah, Chutz Mecheres Shoyte VeKotan, with the exception of a deaf mute, an imbecile, and a minor. The Mishnah, HaKol Ksherim Likroisus HaMegillah, Chutz Mecheres Shoyte VeKotan. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, and Rabbi Yehuda says that a minor is acceptable. When, by the way, when the Mishnah says that everyone is acceptable in reading the middle except for a cheresh, cheresh is a term that can have different meanings, but here it obviously is someone that has the power of speech, and what all he is lacking is the ability to hear. Otherwise, it's obvious if he's mute, he wouldn't be reading the Megillah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and we also indicate that this discussion goes to Chofam and Aleph. The issue is Moni Masnisen. Who is the author of our Mishnah? The trapezoid shape or volcano shape that appears is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the She'elois, Kushios, with the narrow part facing upwards, that will introduce a question or some type of difficulty. And the inverted triangle are tshuvos, responses. When we say ma'akav, it's a give-and-take structure Gemara, question-answer, and in order to follow that, so we have used this marking. So as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you can see that it's it's quite a vigorous discussion. And as we said before, it continues till Daf Chof Omed Aleph. We now turn to the Gemara. Man Tano Cheresh Dieved Nami Lo. Who is the author of our Mishnah that says that a Cheresh, a person who is a deaf individual, is not acceptable even post facto? Omar Rav Matona, Rabbi Yossi Hiss. Rav Matona suggests that the author is Rabbi Yossi Desnan, Hakori Eshma Velo Yishmia Lioznoi Yotza. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Yotza. One who reads the Shema and doesn't listen, doesn't hear what he's saying. The first opinion says that's okay, and Rabbi Yossi says Lo Yotza. He does not fulfill his requirements. So that, according to Rabbi Yossi, the ability to hear is a binding factor, and therefore our Mishnah that says one who cannot hear cannot read, that would be in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. Question: Umimai de Rabbi Yossi hi udieved nami lo? Who is to say that our Mishnah that says chutz mecheresh, that excludes the cheresh, is really in accordance with Rabbi Yossi and his disqualification is on even the post facto level. Dilma Reb Yudahi, maybe the Mishnah is to be understood differently, and it's authored by Reb Yehuda. Ulechadchila hu dolo ha dievet shapir dami. And the allusion to Reb Yehuda, by the way, we didn't see his name, but we can assume for right now that it's a reference to the source we just saw regarding the Shema. We had a Tanakama that said if you read the Shema and you don't hear it, it's okay. That means post bidieved, that means post facto. If that's what happened, it's okay. So maybe our Mishnah is in accordance with that opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Huda that would say that a Cheresh, he's not your first choice. That's the Chathila, not. But Dievet, if he read, it's okay. The Gemara says, Lo Salka Daitoch. No, you can't say that. You can't say that the reference to the Cheresh is such that you would be Yotze, that you would fulfill your requirement post facto. Now, before we go on, we have a topic heading that's appropriate for this section of the Gemara, even though the general topic is who is the author of the Mishnah. On the side, we have written, Hotikotani Chutz Mecheresh, that which our Mishnah says, everyone is kosher except for Cheresh. Haim Kavonas HaMishnah, is the intent of the Mishnah to tell me, the Eino Shemea, Eino Yotze Lechatchilo Avo Yotze B'dieved, that someone who cannot hear is not a good first choice, but post facto, if he read for you, you are Yotze, O Yafilu B'dieved Eino Yotze. Or is the Mishnah telling me that even post facto, you are not Yotze, you do not fulfill your mitzvah through having a Cheresh read for you? Rabbi Yossi is the opinion that says Shmiya Ma'akeves, that Shmiya is a binding factor, and Shmiya means the ability to hear is a restrictive or binding factor, and Rebuta says Shmiya Eino Ma'akeves, that the hearing is not something that's a binding factor. So we go back to the Gemara, and we're at an inverted volcano right now. The last point that was made was maybe our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who would say that Biti Eved, not hearing, is okay. And that when the Mishnah says a Cheresh is not acceptable, it means he's not a first choice. But if he read, you would be Yotze. So to this we say, Lo Salka Daitoch, do not think that you would be Yotze Biti Eved. It teaches Cheresh together with Shoyte V'Koton. Ma Shoyte V'Koton D'Yevet Nami Lo. Just like an imbecile or a minor that would read, you would not be Yotze, you would not fulfill your requirement even post facto. Av Cheresh that's taught together with Shoyte V'Koton is D'Yevet Nami Lo. Is on the same scale, the same level. You would not be Yotze even B'Di'evet. So that at this point then, who is the author of the Mishnah? It would only be according to Reb Yossi. Question. The Dilma Ha'kidi Isa, the Ha'kidi Isa. Maybe you should split Cheresh from Shaita V'Katan. That Cheresh, you are Yotze post facto, like Reb Yudah said. And Shaita V'Katan, so you're not Yotze even post facto. So that Mishnah could be authored by Reb Yehuda. Response. Midekotoni Seifa, from the fact that in the Seifa it says Reb Yehuda Machshir B'Koton, Michlal Dereisha Lav Reb Yehuda He. The Reb Yehuda, if you want to say he's the author of the Mishnah, that can't be. He appears as a speaker at the end of the Mishnah, making it obvious that he's not the speaker at the beginning of the Mishnah. V'dilma Kula Reb Yehuda He. Maybe in fact the whole Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Yehuda, and that which we said, the Cheresh, is not good. That's again, it's not good lechatchila, it's not a good first choice, but b'dieved, he is okay. And you'll ask, well then, what's Reb Yehuda doing at the end of the Mishnah? Utre gavni koton kotoni lo v'chisuri mechasur v'hochi kotoni. And the issue concerning the koton really is that there are two the situations of a minor, and that when the when Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah he says that a katan is kosher, that's not the same katan that was referred to before as being unacceptable. The chisurim machasra v'achi katani, and the Mishnah itself was a bit abbreviated, it was missing words, but this is the way the Mishnah can be read, and it's going to be read now with having Rabbi Yehuda in mind. And once we say having Rabbi Yehuda in mind, we're telling you that the cheresh referred to is not fit as a first choice, but if he read for you, you would be yotzei b'di'evet. And now we reread the Mishnah with this in mind. V'hachi katani, hakol k'sherim likreisas a Megillah. Everyone is fit to be a Megillah reader, as a first choice. Chutz mecheres shaita v'katan, with the exception of these people, you should not choose them. Now the cheresh, he shouldn't be chosen as a first choice, but if he reads it, you would be yotzei. The shaita and the katan, they're not good. Even if you were even post facto, but when do we say that a cotton would not be good even post facto? If it's a cotton who's very young, he hasn't reached educable age. He's very young. Aval, but cotton shigia lechinuch. But if he's a child that's reached educable age, he would be good even as a first choice. Rebuta says that a cotton is kosher. What kind of cotton? What kind of minor? If he has reached chinuch age, educable age. Now, so far, what have we said? That we've presented the possibility that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. B'mai ukimta. Now we have a question, but note that it's a very long question. The point of the question then is that if you're going to try to say that the Mishnah is according to Yehuda, things aren't going to be so smooth. B'mai ukimta. Kerebi Yehuda v'di'eved. The Mishnah that speaks about the cheresh as being not good, that's, he's not good as a first choice, but you would be yotzei b'di'eved with a cheresh, so that even though there's no hearing, he's okay. Eloha detoni Yehuda bre de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Individual quotes a Tanaic source. Cheresh hamedaber v'eino yishemeya toireim lechatchila. Now, we've used a diamond marking, and on the side under the Mivneh, this introduces Mekoros Be'inyan Shmiah. These are sources that have to do with hearing, that meaning the hearing is a factor. Toreim Truma, tithing of Truma. Now, when one tithes, he removes the Truma tithe, there is a Brocha that needs to be recited. A second issue is Birchas HaMozon. Ha'im tzrichim l'shmoya k'dei lotzeis. You have to hear in order to fulfill your requirement. So we have a source concerning tithing. And it says in this source that someone who is capable of speaking but does not hear, he is a deaf individual. Toreim l'chadchila. He's a first choice. He's as good as any other first choice for being Torim, for being mafresh shumas and maestras, and being mafresh entails a brocha recitation. Money. Who is the author of this? Rabbi Yehuda. The Eved in l'chadchim alo. Rabbi Yehuda, as far as non-hearing, he might be somewhat accepting, but it's only post facto, not as a first choice. Rabbi Yossi, the Eved nami lo. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, you're not going to fulfill your requirements even post facto, even b'di'avad, even b'di'eved. So we've got a source here, the Toreim source, that would be left without any author. The Elomai, Rabbi Yehuda, the Afilu lechatchila. So then, well, we're going to have to say that the Toreim source would be authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and you can fulfill requirements even as a first choice if you don't hear. So now we're saying that Rav Yehuda is accepting the non-hearing as a perfectly fine choice. That's as far as the Torah is concerned. So now Shitas Rav Yehuda is what? You don't have to hear even L'chadchila. Shitas Rav Yossi, non-hearing is binding even post facto. Here's a source that says you shouldn't say Birchas Hamazon. Belibo literally means in your heart, not hearing it. And if you said Birchas Hamazon in that way, you are Yotze. Post facto, if you recited the Birchas Hamazon by heart, Belibo means again without hearing. Maybe it's tantamount to you're reading without enunciating the words. This source says you shouldn't do it that way, but if you did it, you are Yotze. Money, who is the author of this? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It's not going to conform to either one of these Tanoim. I Rabbi Yehuda, afilu chachila. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we said, based on the Torah source, he would allow non-hearing even as a first choice. Then Rabbi Yossi, well, he's on record as saying that even post-facto, you're not Yotze. What about this middle ground? The Birchas Hamazon source. So at this point in the Gemara, any way you turn, we're left with a difficulty. The Gemara answers, Li'oilam Rabbi Yehuda v'afilu l'chadchila. The Torah source certainly can be authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and as far as Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is concerned, non-hearing is perfectly all right. You don't have to hear. And we have to add information. And as far as the Cheresh is concerned in our Mishnah, the Cheresh is no good. That's going to be authored by Rabbi Yossi. He's no good, and means even B'di'evet. That's Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So we have to take stock of everything that we've said till now. Rabbi Yehuda is going to accept accept non-hearing even as a first choice. Meaning when we say first choice, it means that doesn't mean to the exclusion of people that do hear, but means on the same par as those who do hear. Rabbi Yossi does not accept non-hearing even post facto, the other extreme. The lo kashya. But now, if you set things up like that, there is a difficulty the Gemara is going to resolve in a second. What's the difficulty? The middle ground source, that was the Birchas Hamazon source. Since, and now the Gemara says, the lo kashya, that really isn't the problem. Hadi day, hadi rabbe. There is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, and there's Rabbi Yehuda citing the opinion of his Rebbe, of his teacher. His own opinion, you can Torah l'chadchila. As far as the Truma source is concerned, which represents his Shita, you don't have to hear, even as a first choice, it's fine. The Birchas Hamazon source is not Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. It is Rabbi Yehuda, but presenting his Rebbe's opinion. And who is his Rebbe? We're going to see it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as we go on in the Gemara. Desanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hakorei es Shema Tzorech Shiyashmia Liozno. One who reads the Shema, he should hear what he is saying. Shenemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. And the word Shema is explained, Hashmea Liozncho Ma She'ata Moitzi Mipicha. You should hear that which you are enunciating. Rabbi Meir Omer, Asher Onochi Mitzavecho Hayoim Al Levovecho. The word Levovecho is dot underlined. Achar Kavonas Halev Hein Hein Advorim. Rabbi Meir does not require hearing. Even if it's not heard, it's okay. The main thing is what your kavona, your intention is. So what is the what do we see then from here? We see that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah reflects an opinion that says that you should hear what you are saying. So that will be the Birchas Hamazon source. And we should point out, Rashi does point this out, that the lashon of HaKoreh Shema Tzorich Shiyashmi Elazar means you should hear what you're saying is mashma lechatchila, but your yotze b'dieved if you didn't hear. So that's the middle ground opinion. Hashta de'osis lahochi. Now that we've reached this point and we've presented this brisa, which also happens to have Rabbi Meir's opinion in it, what was Rabbi Meir's opinion? You don't have to hear that which you are reciting or enunciating. You don't have to hear it, and you don't have to hear it even as a first choice. It's okay. So now that we've reached this point, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda kirabei sfiralei, you can actually say that Rabbi Yehuda accepts his Rebbe's opinion lock, stock, and barrel, that non-hearing is no good as a first choice. Veha de Tani Yehuda Breder of Shimon ben Pazi, the source that indicated that non-hearing is acceptable even as a first choice, as we saw in the Toraim source, we don't have to ascribe that to Rebbe Yehuda anymore. Rebbe Meir, that can be ascribed to Rebbe Meir. So at this point in the Gemara, just to review some of the points, the Mishnah said, HaKol Kshem Lukas Emil Chutz Mecheresh Sheite V'Katan. As far as we're concerned right now, Chutz Mecheresh, a Cheresh is not acceptable even B'dievet, like a Cheresh V'Katan, and that is authored by Rebbe Yossi. The other extreme, the source that said a cherish is turim lechatchila, that would be authored by Rebbe Meir. The Birchas Hamazon source, which said that you shouldn't do it without hearing, but if you did, your yotze, that's according to Rebbe Yehuda, and he is following the opinion of his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan tanya. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, katan hoyisi v'korosio lemalo me Rebbe tarfoin uzakenim belud. Rabbi Yehuda says, I was a child, I was a minor, and I read the Megillah in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon and the sages in the city of Lud. So what's Rabbi Yehuda trying to accomplish over here? He's trying to show that that his opinion is correct, namely that katan is kosher. Amrulo, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda said, Ein mevien katan, ein mevien raya min a katan. You cannot bring proof from a minor. In other words, you're telling us this story, you're telling us that you were a child. Well, information that's taught to us from someone who at the time was a child is not valid. It doesn't have any halachic weight. Tanya. Now, another Tanaic source that seems very similar to this, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe tells us, Katan hoyisi, I was a child, v'korisia lemalo me Rebbe Yehuda, and I read it in front of Rebbe Yehuda. Omru lo, avian raya min hamatir. You don't bring proof from Rebbe Yehuda, who was the one in front of whom you read. He's matir katan, but he happens to be a minority opinion. The rabbim are cholek on him. The Gemara asks, v'lemru lei, why in this last source, when the rabbonon respond to Rebbe, why didn't they say ein mevi'in raya min hakatan? Rebbe says that Rebbe told us a story that, well, when he was a child, just like we saw in the source before, information that's told to us from someone who at the time was a child has no significance. Why don't they say that to Rebbe? It's the same as we saw before. The Gemara says, you're right. Chado v'oid ka'amru lei. When they responded to Rebbe, they were telling him actually 2 points. Chado de katan ha'isa. One point is that your story doesn't have halachic significance for us because at the time you had been a minor. V'oid afilu gadol ha'isa. Even if you had been an adult and told us, well, I was after my bar mitzvah when I read the Megillah in front of Rebbe Yehuda, we still wouldn't be influenced by that. You don't bring a raya that's the way to do things from the matir. The matir meaning from he who allowed when he in fact was a minority opinion. Now, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.